好嘞，那弟兄小哥，你然后再，来讲就行吧。那么就，那，这个就行呗。东巴嘞，第二个他，这个出什么送啊？他今天亚内亚都送去，好像都是。你们能够认识的那些人都一年的，弟兄的，我们就是某些特别的呢，过好别的，有的搞不了呢。这个那些真正真正，这些以外。那他说你去吃毛拉山那么大什么大的那什么叫他们就上有个头发起阴塞的今天第一家呢我们家就先把他上级活动这个那派遣这个年龄前年呢这个年龄太轻的上级活动头发难行没眼的都是刚刚去年龄起阴塞的那都都是年龄前的这么大的你年呢那是刚要去年前的那这广大的呀这才有这样子的呀，没那么简单。上级，你做不讲究国防军务呀？啊，那这个毛班呢？那这个，但是没有什么特别的那个，那这你们这些吧，你给人新人也不当差的，啊，没那么多家伙来是真的，去查些。
Good afternoon. This morning we spoke about how the bodhisattva engages in the practice of ethical conduct in terms of guarding or protecting the vows that they have received. And we heard about how they came to the position of becoming a bodhisattva or attained the development, the mental development of being a bodhisattva through meditating on how all sentient beings have been our mothers, meditating on the kindness and generating the powerful wish to repay that kindness. And continuing this meditation up to the point of generating the mind of generating the wish to take responsibility to lead all sentient beings to the state free from suffering, the state of lasting happiness, and moreover to do so, generating the determination to achieve Buddhahood themselves, so that they can be of greatest benefit to others. So, in other words, generating the full complete mind of Bodhicitta. And thereafter, engaging in the practices of the perfections, generosity, ethical conduct, and so forth. So this is what we've heard about thus far, and we also mention how ourselves as aspirants to enter into the bodhisattva paths, we should generate the wish to act, to train in the same way as those who are training, we should generate the wish to train in the same way. And likewise, all the Buddhas in the world, they have trained in this way too, so we should follow the example of all these holy beings. And having this clear, we should then train like this or meditate like this every day, and certainly every morning, and if we can, also during the day. And then when it comes to the evening, and we've done our evening practice, and we come to dedicate, we should dedicate specifically, we should dedicate our merit with the aspiration that all sentient beings attain the state of Buddhahood. And furthermore, that in future rebirths, we attain good rebirths, precious human rebirths, like we have in this life. And in future rebirths, we come under the care of a Mahayana spiritual friend, generate faith in that teacher, and receive teachings from them, and successfully train in their teachings. So this is these aspirational prayers we should make along with our dedications every evening.
Mm-hmm.
那this morning we also mentioned how to attain enlightenment, it's imperative that one fully accumulates both accumulations, the accumulation of merit and the accumulation of wisdom. And to accumulate this vast amount of merit that one requires, it's imperative that one has the extra perceptions. Without these, it's not possible. And then we mentioned right at the end, so how does one come to develop these extra perceptions? They come on the basis of calm abiding.
Mm. 那像他呢，新年就过了，就像的那个，他新年没住白些，所以给当公司住过些呢，就光不开这接纳了吧的。 신의 주다 마신 바지 신의 마루 바지 나 원시 주부에서는 난 검자라 되네 용으로 와라. 되네 가서 검자 외에 원시 신의 마루나 네 원시 제요 말해서.
Having heard about the tremendous benefits or advantages that come with having these extra perceptions, if one then has the wish to generate them, but doesn't have the wish to generate calm abiding, then no matter how much one meditates, the extra perceptions cannot be attained. They can only be attained on the basis of calm abiding. And this is expressed in the first two lines of verse 38. Without the attainment of calm abiding, extra perception will not occur. So again, to attain extra perception, it's imperative that one first develops calm abiding. Then when one has developed calm abiding, the extra perceptions are accomplished very easily. If without first accomplishing calm abiding, no matter what meditation one does or how many mantras one recites, one will not achieve the extra perceptions. This basis of calm abiding is essential. If you think then about the accomplishment of calm abiding in terms of where does this fit in terms of the practices of the six perfections, so it's the perfection of concentration, and then this is included in the perfection, in the accumulation of wisdom. So again, this accomplishment of calm abiding amongst the six perfections is included amongst the perfection of concentration, and then in terms of these two accumulations, that of merit and that of wisdom, it's included in the accumulation of wisdom. Again, that read lines three and the third and fourth line from verse 38. So here it's quite clear that with this wish now to attain calm abiding, so as to achieve the extra perceptions, we need to make a tremendous effort and constant effort or repeated effort to attain the mind of calm abiding.
Mm.
So let's look at this word, calm abiding. So two words, calm and abiding. So here, when we think, let's just look at the word calm for now. So the word calm, then when you think about this, the meaning of this word, we should think about it in two ways, maybe, or see it as relating to two things. One being the objects, and two in relation to the afflictions. So in terms of the objects, this here, the object is held by this mind, this calm mind, single-pointedly. So this is the meaning in terms of the object. So the mind holds the object single-pointedly. And then in terms of the afflictions, whilst the object is being held single-pointedly, the mind is of course not distracted to anything else, otherwise it wouldn't be single-pointed. So the mind therefore doesn't come under the influence of factors such as mental factors such as excitement. So this word we had a few days ago, now it's the same one in this context of calm abiding. So the mind doesn't get distracted through excitement and the like. So therefore, it is able to hold the object in single-pointedly. So this then is part of the second explanation of the word calm, in terms of the mind holding the object. The mind is not coming under the influence of the afflictions. And furthermore, the other afflictions then become suppressed by this mind of calm abiding. In particular, the afflictions of attachment of the desire realm. This becomes suppressed by calm abiding, as does minds such as anger and the like. And furthermore, when someone has calm abiding, they have no need to sleep either. So that mental factor is also suppressed by the attainment of calm abiding. So then just to say in summary, whatever object is held needs to be held single-pointedly in an unwavering manner. And when it's held in this unwavering manner, then the mind of calm abiding has been attained. And then furthermore, or in conjunction with this, the afflictions get suppressed. So for example, there are minds of the desire realm attachment, anger, sleep and the like.
Chapa Duyela chapa chapa, dubi chapa pangre seki, dubi chapa diya, duyela chapa chapa. Chisa dubi chapa man rigni sheche, duyela chapa chapa. Chisa dubi chapa chama chama, dinzi yung uo yu ten chapa chimgore. Deso dati shine zhuba samji, ane bangro maresi.
Bangro
maresi. Tati, di shetan di jayang, uma tenjubo kono to shetan.
Let's just look briefly then at what is meant by desire realm attachments. So the desire realm attachments can be divided into two. So it's attachments for objects that can be that are either coarse or subtle. So the coarse objects of desire realm attachment would be attachment to food, clothing, a nice home, wealth, fame and the like. So these are all coarse desire realm objects that one generates attachment for. So these get suppressed by the mind of calm abiding. Attachment for these objects gets suppressed by the mind of calm abiding. Then there are also subtle objects of attachment in the desire realm, such as that relating to self-grasping. Now, this does not get suppressed by the mind of calm abiding. So this view here, the second part, this is a view of the Prasangika, or view according to the Prasangika. So can I read now verse 39? All the conditions for the accomplishment of karma abiding are incomplete, it of course will not come about. So included within the conditions are having a teacher who can teach one what how to accomplish karma abiding. And then, of course, one needs to study and come to know these teachings well, and then train in them. So if one doesn't have all the required conditions such as these, then it's not possible to accomplish calm abiding. In that, if one doesn't know how to perform the meditation and doesn't train in the correct technique, then it's not possible to achieve the mind of calm abiding.
Yala manya bachore say the dang the shinier duelia, mazole, shine kiele, bashi king in panguella masona, jiti, desel masona, never my war, shinier dubdala, rimbaniore, go to tang, never napon, deli nimbo, jiti, and you come not in your comna chiche. The next shinier comna, same nebbia tapku, says the net in shinier comna chiche, shinier comnala, rigni.
Okay. I just forgot where we were. Okay, so in terms of the conditions, there's more to say here. So the, in terms of the conditions that are required for the accomplishment of karma abiding, then there are two explanations that are usually given. Both of these explanations are found in texts by, or composed by Maitreya. So the one explanation that one will come across is the five faults, and the eight antidotes. So that's one common explanation. So that the eight antidotes are applied against these five faults. And then the second explanation, also by Maitreya, but from a different text, are the nine stages of karma abiding. So let's look at these five faults. So the first one is the mind of laziness. So this should be clear. If one is dominated by the mind of laziness, then one's meditation won't turn out well. So that's the first fault. The second one is forgetting the instructions. So this is here the instructions refers to the teachings that one would have received and should have studied. So if this hasn't been done well, if one hasn't studied well, then one will forget the instructions. And that, of course, is also an obstacle. Then the third fault is that of having laxity and excitement. So these two minds come under the third fault, laxity and excitement. So the result of one's mind being dominated by laxity is that the object is not clear. The object is not held clearly. And the fault of excitement is that one is distracted from the object. So if one's mind is dominated by excitement, it's not possible to hold an object single-pointedly. So this is the third of the five faults, laxity and excitement. Just to say again about laxity. So when one's mind is dominated by laxity, then one doesn't perceive the object clearly. So this fault is in the mind. So the mind isn't clear, and therefore the object isn't perceived clearly.
나디네 다 녀바 시바디레 다 지모다 고번이 중어도 녀보 된고 녀보 녀보 된고 거르데 다 녀보 마된 바세 샤바이나 다 지모 중에 녀보 마된 고버 중에 녀보 마된 바 샤바이나 디괜치 녀바 지레스 제가 녀보 마 지모하던 고번이 중어도 되는 녀보 마된 바세 녀보 마된 바디 녀바레스 괜레스
Then the fourth one is the fault of not applying effort. So this would be when one's mind is dominated by excitement or laxity or excitement, and then not applying effort in the antidotes. So this not applying effort means not applying the antidotes to the laxity and excitement. And this not applying effort is the fourth one.
Mm-hmm.
Then the fifth one is the opposite situation. So here, when the object is being held, so the mind is not distracted through excitement, and the object is clear, so there's not laxity present, at those times, one should just hold the object. But if one then applies any of the antidotes, then that would be the fifth fault. So this fifth fault is applying the antidote when it's not necessary or not required. Just to say them again, these five faults. So the first is laziness, the second is forgetting the instructions, and the third is coming under the influence of laxity and excitement, or laxity or excitement. And the fourth is not engaging with endeavor, or not making effort to overcome the minds of laxity and excitement. In other words, when they are present, not applying the antidotes. And then the fifth one is when those minds of laxity and excitement are not present, then applying the antidotes. So these are the five faults. If one doesn't overcome these five, it's not possible to achieve calm abiding. So therefore, it's imperative, if one has the wish to achieve calm abiding, to overcome these five faults. Amongst these five, for us right now, the strongest would be this mind of laziness. And because the mind of laziness, or this fault of laziness, is such a strong obstacle for us ordinary practitioners, when we come now to the eight antidotes against these five faults, four of the eight antidotes relate to laziness. And so, and we see this laziness expressed in how we are, for example, very busy. We have too many activities to do today, we have them again tomorrow, next week we're still busy with many activities, etc. And this then is an obstacle to us putting in the, to us accomplishing the mind of calm abiding. So let's now look at these four antidotes to laziness. So the first one is the mind of faith. So this mind of faith arises through thinking about the benefits of achieving calm abiding. So for example, the benefits that will come from having the extra perceptions that will follow the attainment of calm abiding, or rather that one can generate or cultivate after the attainment of calm abiding. So thinking like that, one's mind of faith in the attainment of calm abiding will strengthen. Then the second one is the mind of aspiration. So this follows on from the cultivation of faith. Seeing the great benefits in achieving calm abiding, one develops this mind of aspiration, this strong wish to attain calm abiding. So in the same way that all children require a mother, in other words, for a child to be born, a child requires a mother. And this is the case for all children, they all require a mother. So here, for a mind such as aspiration to arise, it requires faith, preceding faith. So here, a mother faith is likened to a mother, in that from the mother, all good qualities will follow. And in this particular instance, from the mind of faith, aspiration will arise. Faith is particularly important because actually all good qualities come from this mind of faith. So if one has strong faith, then one will engage in a practice. And if that faith, one continues to protect that faith and cultivate that faith, and so that it grows, one will continue to engage in the practices over a period of time. And doing so, the qualities that arise in one's mind from doing the practice will continue to grow. On the other hand, if one doesn't guard one's faith, then one may engage in a practice, see some benefits, but then let it go. And that letting it go will come from the lack of the mind of faith. And that has the result that the qualities that one has accomplished, these won't stay constant, they will degenerate. So therefore, faith is a particularly important mind.
Mm-hmm.
In our Tibetan tradition, we talk a lot about the mother. We talk about the mother in the context of faith. We hear about the mother in the context of generating the minds of love and compassion and the like. So men may end up feeling a little bit ignored. So maybe the mother is superior to males, to men. If mothers take this maybe in the wrong way and feel that all this praise coming from the Buddha is directed to them as mothers, then maybe from this pride will arise. So also be a little bit careful. Following on from the third antidote, but relating to the first of the faults, that of laziness, is the mind of effort or endeavor. Then the fourth of the antidotes relating to the first of the faults, laziness, is that of pliancy. So here, pliancy, in terms of pliancy, then there are two types. There's the mental pliancy and physical pliancy. So these are the antidotes, also part of the antidote to the fault of laziness. Sorry, I missed something. So this mind of pliancy, what is this? So this is when one is in cultivating calm abiding, one has now generated faith, and from this aspiration and the mind of endeavor or effort. So now one is meditating a lot. And when one is engaging in constant meditation or regular meditation, then one will encounter some physical discomfort, maybe some mental difficulties with it, etc. So the mind of pliancy is the antidote to that aspect. Because when we're encountering, oh, my body's aching, or I'm really bored, etc., then laziness can dominate and we give up, etc. So here the mind of pliancy is the antidote to that situation.
Same chike kate chik tus kom jate na kala wa cha la dine chege ma jida dine gi sem le ya kang a shira me chige cha de sem jang ba cha go jida xin jia la lu ya jang do da sem le ya jang do he
This pliancy serves in a sense to purify the body and mind. And so through this training, then one's body, of course, encounters difficulties. One's mind encounters difficulties such as frustration or maybe boredom. And from this, obstacles can come. Whereas through generating the antidote of pliancy, then one will be able to overcome the physical obstacles as well as these mental obstacles.
Mm. Sisa dini re, tangzu du sune, joshin ki zhung xie du stuewe ne, dini ki duye ne bima na ya shira yo ma re. Kasi nangzu xine gom che, zhub che, dini ki bima na ya jangba ma re de, tangzu shal duye dine pe chandu ka na gupzu duye jangu ruwa, dini tsol ruwa na du skupzu duye ruwa, an yin zara peri shuwa ruwa na du skupzu duye ruwa, dini mangbo duye duye nyingi, an du sune, de,
So we can see this, for example, when we about these obstacles when we're just sitting here in class, our knees may well get a little bit painful, our back get a bit painful, etc. And this is especially the case if one is sitting a lot. So, for example, in Sera, where one sits cross-legged in one's room whilst one is studying, or of course when one is going to teachings in front of your teacher, you're sitting cross-legged, or if one is in putches, then all this time is spent sitting cross-legged. So here then one can experience this obstacle of pain in one's knees and possibly in one's back. And then this shows one, of course, doesn't have pliancy.
Mm-hmm. There you are. That is the Geneva, Lelo, in your bushes. That digital Dama Jeva. That Dama Jeva, the Nembo, the Garson Lami, Madus, then the Congo, then the Russia, the Dama Jed, Jay, or the Dinabo, the Jamba, that Jamba, Jamba, Dama, or the Dissonson, Dissonson, Jed, Jamba, Timbuchadi, Jamba, the Dama Jibi, Nembo, the Jamba.
So then. Now we move to the next of the five faults. So that was the fault of forgetting the instructions. The antidote to that, so that's the second of the five faults. The antidote to that is the fifth of the eight antidotes, and this is the mind of mindfulness. Then the third of the five faults, the minds of laxity and excitement, their antidote is the mind of introspection. So the mind of introspection performs the function of analyzing and being aware of what's happening in the mind at the time. So it's just quietly watching and being aware of which other minds are present. So this is always likened to, maybe in the modern context we'd say the CIA, who secretly in the background keeps an eye on what's happening. So this is the function here of the mind of introspection.
Nyebo
Then the fourth fault is the fault of not applying endeavor. So this was when these minds of laxity and excitement are present and not dealing with these minds. So here the antidote to not engaging with endeavor would be to have the intention to apply the antidotes. So the fault again is that one has these minds of laxity and excitement present, laxity or excitement present, and one isn't applying the antidote. So the antidote to that lack of endeavor is to have the intention to apply antidotes. Then the fifth of the five faults, which is the one where when the mind is not distracted from the object, and also so there's not the excitement, and then there isn't laxity present, so the object is clear, then to apply an antidote would be a mistake. So that's the fifth fault. Then the antidote to that is for the mind just to rest on the object, to have the equanimity of resting naturally. In other words, not to apply the antidote at that time. So these eight antidotes, these are important to come to know, and if one has the aspiration to develop calm abiding, this is what we need to train in. So these minds of faith and aspiration, applying effort, minds of physical and mental pliancy, mindfulness, introspection, and then seventhly, the intention to apply antidotes, and eighthly, the equanimity of resting naturally. So these eight antidotes are what we need to train in. This is the main practice to train in so as to accomplish calm abiding. So this then should be clear, that if one doesn't know what these five faults are, or these five objects of abandonment, and one doesn't know the antidotes to apply, these eight antidotes to apply when these faults are apparent, then it's not possible to achieve calm abiding. So therefore, if one, one has the wish to achieve calm abiding, one needs to study this, one needs to attain teachings on this and study it well, and then one can begin the training in developing calm abiding. But without knowing what the five faults are and the eight antidotes to them, no matter how long, even for hundreds of years, if one tries to accomplish calm abiding, it won't be possible.
This
explanation here now of the objects of abandonment, so these faults, and the antidotes to them, these eight antidotes, this is something that all the bodhisattvas trained in so as to attain the bodhisattva paths. And they received teachings on this, they studied it well, and then cultivated in their meditation. Through doing that, they all gave rise to the mind of calm abiding in their continuum, and from that, they quickly achieved the extra perceptions. And then when they were in that position, then they were able to meditate effectively on subjects such as emptiness and selflessness. Because we've seen in our own experience that us beings who don't have calm abiding, how very difficult it is to hold an object of meditation. We are continuously distracted from the object we are trying to cultivate. And so all the more so when it's a subtle object such as emptiness or selflessness. So therefore, those who are training to become bodhisattvas and had the aspiration to become enlightened, trained in this way, the same way we heard now, so as to cultivate the minds of calm abiding and then the extra perceptions. So hearing about this now, if we have this aspiration too, to become completely free of all suffering and to be able to be of lasting benefit to others, then we need to act in the same way as all the bodhisattvas and the Buddhas have acted. So we, like them, need to engage in the accumulations of virtue, and to power this, we need to cultivate calm abiding so we can achieve these two accumulations of merit and wisdom to their fullest extent, that extent that is required in order to attain enlightenment. And this is essential. There's no technique that excludes the attainment of calm abiding. Every foe destroyer had to achieve karma abiding in order to attain that state. And furthermore, in fact, every being who gained a direct realization of emptiness, so attained the Arya grounds, they too required karma abiding. And in fact, every being who entered into a path or cultivated a path in their mind, they too first required the cultivation of karma abiding. So knowing that, then we too should generate the aspiration to cultivate karma abiding. We should make aspirational prayers to receive these teachings and then to train in them and accumulate merit so that we can do this.
So
from verse 40, gonna read the first two lines.
Ah, got some more. That didn't get him. He came up. So now you saw that you see you saw Nigalia and it's Sabala and you all she needed to get him. She would it. She needed to get him. She needed to get it.
So in these lines, we can now see the reference for what we've just heard about here, because this is one of the texts that has this presentation of the eight antidotes which need to be applied so as to overcome the five faults. So having heard this, then having the wish to attain the state of Buddhahood, and understanding that this is only possible if the two accumulations are fully accumulated, then, and that is dependent on karma abiding, then we too should generate the wish to achieve karma abiding and engage in that training. So to do so, we also need to study further, in that there are other prerequisites that are required. So when we saw above the other conditions, there are some others that are required, such as the kind of place where one needs to train, and etc. So these need to come to be known through studying other texts or through relying on a teacher, etc. If we have such an aspiration, then we should accumulate virtue so as to achieve this and make aspirational prayers.
And 아니 저 상황에서 아니 간주기 이게 소수의 로봇이게 소수의 로봇이 두고 나야 호래 고고래서 아니 이게 소수의 튕겐 칼라서야 나 이게 라헬이야 이게 레라와 싶고 다 뒤에 미메로 돌아서는 칼라서야 레칼라 가고로 와지네게 되니 고고래서 되니게 계주 망부 숨을다 다루다 되니게 차가 별로 지진이 쉬네 차상 쉬 뭐하지 안디네 사 상황에서 되니게 내 튕긴 되는 식으로 해서 일단 뭐 되는 시대다.
So I won't now go through all the other kinds of conditions that one requires, but just to mention a couple. So the place that one needs, that should one should abide in order to accomplish calm abiding, should be a place that is not dangerous, and a place that is not dirty. So a place that is and a place that is quiet. So this is something we heard about in the Wednesday night Lama Room teachings a while ago. If we're in a place that is dangerous, for example, the many wild animals, then that's not a suitable place. Or if it's a place is dangerous for other reasons, again, that's not a suitable place. Likewise, if the area is dirty, then one may become ill. So that's not a suitable place. And if it's very noisy, either from the sound of rainfall on a tin roof, or there are many noisy birds in that area, then that also isn't a suitable place. Then a second condition is that one has conducive companions around oneself. So companions who are supportive to what one is doing and not obstructive to what one is doing. And going along with this, then one also needs to be able to get food and water and the like with ease. That this isn't something that will take up a lot of effort or a lot of time. So these are some of the additional conditions that are required for a place to be suitable to attain calm abiding. I'm going to read the third and fourth line of verse 40.
지난다 신의 두배기 미과들의 간에서 고부리에 세드 나 신의 두배 미과들아 나 미과 망고여다 간제다 담아라 테 우울에 테네 우중 지난에 우울에 테네 신의 두배여레 답에네 만두게 제샤 침보로 지난에 안에 우중 가사오레 남도 우침 보이나 안에 우중을 테네 안에 신의 두배야 나 미디안 신의 두 미디 차고 숙침 보이나 안에 미두바 검제 신의 두야서나 난 얘네게 다 지당 미보다 신의 미보라 다 말아 소소 나 가르치지야 요새 가다 말아 요새 미보다
So here we see it's reference to the focal object or the object of observation. So to put it simpler, it's just the object that one is cultivating in one's meditation so as to achieve calm abiding. So there's a limitless or a very wide variety of objects that one can utilize here. And there is some advice given. So for example, if someone has a mind that is dominated by the discursive thinking, so this uncontrolled thinking, then for such a person to focus on their breath, this would be very helpful. Or for someone whose mind is dominated by attachment, then if they were to use as an object impermanence, then that would be very beneficial. So there are many examples of possible objects, but of course that it's really limitless what object one can focus on.
And then,
And the texts usually also give the image or the example of using a Buddha image. So one could cultivate then calm abiding with the focal object of being an image of the Buddha. So this essay, if one chooses to use an image of a Buddha as the object upon which to achieve calm abiding, then this image should be small, it should be heavy, and it should be bright. And then, of course, just be aware that this is a mental, this is the mental object that we are cultivating calm abiding on. It's not that we necessarily need a Buddha image before us that is bright and is heavy and is small. Again, if one chooses to cultivate calm abiding on the basis of a Buddha image, then before beginning one's meditation, beginning on this endeavor to cultivate calm abiding on the basis of this object, then one should study a particular Buddha image well, so that one has a very clear understanding of what it looks like, so that when one engages in meditation, one has a clear understanding of what the object looks like that one is going to try and visualize in a very clear and detailed manner. And then, so that's the first step. Then one starts with this undertaking, and one will have many obstacles. For example, the size of the visualized object, this will change. The color may also change. The Buddha may become black, for example. So these kinds of things will happen. And then the mind of laziness, which would come about, and it could come about in any way, like, oh, this is so difficult, or this is, etc. One could have these kinds of obstacles to continuing with the meditation. So here, this shows how we need to understand what the possible faults are, and then what to do when they arise. So we know that if, for example, one's mind is becoming a bit lazy and one is not wanting to continue with the meditation or enter into another session, then one needs to generate the mind of faith. And generating the mind of faith, then one is likely to overcome this obstacle, and one can continue with the meditation. Likewise, one must utilize the mind of mindfulness to make sure that one stays present with the object and doesn't forget the instructions, in other words, what to be doing. And then furthermore, one should be keeping one should be utilizing the mind of introspection, so that when the faults of excitement and laxity arise, then these are seen and then antidotes can be applied. So this is the process that one would go through. And then this all comes about independent on initially coming to understand how to accomplish calm abiding well, understanding the faults, the antidotes, the condition one requires, etc.
Then
We don't have time to look at this presentation in detail, and there's a lot to say on how to cultivate the mind of calm abiding. But just to add a few more things to what we have said, is that in order to cultivate, or when one starts trying to cultivate calm abiding, then it is difficult. So one should have, first of all, many sessions each day, and those sessions should be very short. So when one starts, each session should just be a few minutes. And then one should stop and actually meditate on or reflect on the antidotes. So again, generate in particular the mind of faith. Because when one starts cultivating this mind of calm abiding, it is difficult and many obstacles will come. So these antidotes need to be powerful so that we can overcome these repeated obstacles, or these obstacles that arise repeatedly. So therefore, when one starts, one's meditation sessions should be frequent, but very short. And then, after a couple of minutes, one regenerates the mind of faith, and then once again starts a second meditation session, cultivating the object of meditation, and a few minutes later stopping, and then generating the mind of faith, etc. And then this should be continued day after day, and slowly, as one sees oneself progressing, then the length of these sessions should be expanded. So one goes from a few minutes per session to a few minutes longer, to maybe 5 minutes, etc. And then breaks, and then recultivates this mind of faith, and then enters session again. And this is how we would progress.
Manzu Jigli
Going through this process over a period of time, applying the antidotes to these faults, then one's meditation will certainly progress, and we'll see the and the object that one is cultivating will become clearer and clearer, and one's physically and mentally will have more confidence in what one's doing, one's physical obstacles will lessen, etc. And this will continue until one comes to the point of being able to hold the object single-pointedly. And then when one is able to hold it, the object single-pointedly, and one progresses still further with the meditation, then one will give rise to the actual physical and mental pliancy. And when those have arisen, then one is said to have attained calm abiding.
Mibakaro, Chilaya, Yinigela, Shapar Chas,
Think and I read the first two lines of verse 41. So here when the meditator is cultivating calm abiding and then is able to hold the object single-pointedly and for a great length of time, and that takes us further to the actual degeneration of actual physical mental pliancy, then they have attained calm abiding. And once they have attained calm abiding, then the extra perceptions, these can be attained quickly. Today, then this afternoon, we spoke about how just through attaining or engaging the practice of ethical conduct, enlightenment cannot be achieved. And this is because through engaging the practice of ethical conduct, one accumulates a tremendous amount of virtue. But this only falls into the category of the accumulation of merit. One also needs to accumulate wisdom, so the merit coming from wisdom. So both of these accumulations are required, not just the one. And this is something that all bodhisattvas have recognized. And they recognize that to become a Buddha, they need to cultivate both of these accumulations to their fullest extent. So therefore, one needs to engage in practices on both sides, that leads to accumulation of wisdom and that which leads to the accumulation of merit. Because it's only when both of these accumulations are accumulated to the fullest level, then enlightenment is attained. So coming to know that, then aspirant bodhisattvas, in the past, they all engaged in the cultivation of calm abiding, because they'd come to understand that it's through having calm abiding they would be able to achieve the extra perceptions, which have a tremendous number of benefits, like we heard earlier, in terms of being of benefit to others and making the accumulation of virtue so very, very powerful. So in the same way that they came to this understanding and then engaged in these practices, then we should do the same as them. Because we also have this wish to be free of suffering. We have the wish to be of benefit to others. And so we understand that the way to be of greatest benefit to others and to be completely free from all forms of suffering and have a lasting state of happiness is to achieve Buddhahood for the benefit of others. So therefore we need to do this. And to do this, we heard about previously cultivating bodhicitta on the basis of recollecting all sentient beings have been our mothers, etc. And in conjunction with that, engaging in the practices of the perfections, generosity and the like. So all of this can be done very powerfully, especially if we achieve this mind of karma abiding. And that can be achieved if we practice in the way that has been briefly mentioned here. So if we come to understand in its detail how to accomplish karma abiding, then we too can achieve that and achieve all the benefits that come with having the single point of mind. So that's what we looked at today. Then tomorrow we'll continue. So we've heard a lot then about this accumulation of merit, and we've heard that there's also accumulation of wisdom, so we'll start with that. And then that comes with the sixth of the perfections, the perfection of wisdom. Because now we've looked at previously the other perfections coming up to now, or today, the perfection of concentration, and now tomorrow we'll start with the perfection of wisdom. Katya, should I take it again? Okay, some questions, please. Yes, at the back. Yes, yes.
What is that referring to?
What does the conditions or the collection for meditative? Okay, I'll ask. So what does the collection for meditative stabilization chapter refer to? Yeah, sure, no problem. I'll just get the name in Tibetan, here it is. This is one of the texts where how to accomplish karma abiding is presented. So what we heard today about the five faults and the eight antidotes, as well as we heard a little bit about some of the other conditions required, such as a quiet and clean place and good companions, etc., and a teacher. All of this is presented in this text, as well as in how to actually attain karma abiding. That's all presented in this chapter on meditative stabilization in this text by, I think Anna said before, it was by Maitreya. Okay? Thank you. Another question? Then, thank you. Until tomorrow.